Hi, everyone, and welcome to English for You. I'm Joe.
And I'm Mike.
Today,
wait, you're Sir Joe.
Sir Joe.
We're talking about knights, so we should
Esquire.
Be knightly, yes.
Yes, we should be very knightly and brave.
Sir Mike.
I left my sword at home.
I am Sir Mike of Banchow.
Of Banchow.
Yes.
That's a very noble name.
It's not bad. I kind
of
like
He's
that.
He's the protector of Banchow.
No, actually. I just live there.
Okay, he just lives there. We were talking about knights yesterday.
Yes,
that's why we're pretending to be knights today.
Wart and Kay were the two young knights.
Yeah, Wart dreams of being a knight. They were being taught by a tutor.
Mm-hmm.
The tutor went crazy because Kay was spoiled, didn't hear no enough from Ector, his father.
Right, Sir Ector,
Sir Ector. And then they went out with a falcon. They were going to have some fun out in the woods. Falcon ran away.
Flew away.
Flew away, yeah. Did I say run away? Yeah.
Falcon running away.
The falcon could fly, just to specify.
That's right. It's the dumbest falcon in the world. It never decided to fly. It just runs.
Wart went after the falcon, and he met Merlin. Merlin's a wizard living alone out in the woods. Merlin knew things about Wart without actually hearing them.
Kind of a strange mystery.
And that's where we left off. Wart was out there with Merlin, and Wart hopes Merlin can make him into the brave knight he always wanted to be. Let's go ahead and read through the article, and then Sir Mike of Banchow and myself will be back.
Reading. The Sword in the Stone. Wart and Merlin leave the cottage and, along the way, find the hawk. When they arrive at Wart's home, Sir Ector agrees to hire Merlin as a tutor. The reason Merlin agreed to help Wart is because the wizard knows who Wart's true father is, the King of England. Merlin begins Wart's training by teaching him lessons about life. He first uses his magic to transform Wart into various animals. Later, Merlin takes Wart to see a ridiculous duel between two knights in heavy armor. The adventures teach Wart about the dangers of power, the foolishness of fighting, and that all creatures deserve help. 6 years later, news arrives that the King of England has died and left no heir. What's more, a mysterious sword lodged in an anvil and a stone has turned up in London. It bears a message saying that whoever can remove the sword shall be the king. However, even the kingdom's strongest knights cannot pull out the sword. Kay wants to try his luck at retrieving the sword, so Wart, Kay, and Ector head to London.
All right, the article begins today by saying Wart and Merlin leave the cottage and, along the way, find the hawk.
Great!
There's some good news.
Yeah.
They leave the cottage. Remember, the cottage is like the small house in the woods. Along the way, they find the hawk or the falcon that had flew away, not run away.
Nope.
It flew away. Hopefully. They actually find it. If it ran away, that would be hilarious.
Yes. Though. But it would probably be too stupid to save that hawk.
I guess they
hawk runs, it doesn't fly. Let's just leave it alone.
All right, well, what happens next?
Well, when they arrive at Wart's home, so back at the castle where Wart lives with Sir Ector and his stepbrother Kay, Sir Ector is there, and he agrees to hire Merlin as a tutor. So Wart shows up with this great, wise old teacher man, Merlin, and Sir Ector says, "Okay, I will pay him to be your new tutor, since the other one went crazy and ran away." The reason Merlin agreed to help Wart is because the wizard knows who Wart's true father is. Remember, yesterday when they met, you mentioned this, Merlin knew Wart's name, and Wart had never met this old man, so there was always something kind of strange about Merlin. And it's because Merlin knows that Wart's real father, or true father, is not Sir Ector, the King of England.
All right. So Warts,
yes,
Warts, who everybody just kind of picks on, and
Prince Wart now.
Yeah, now he's Prince.
I guess we have to call him
Wart. But mm-hmm. I guess the only person who knows this is Merlin right now.
Yeah.
So Merlin begins Wart's training by teaching him lessons about life. If you're going through training, it just means you're learning about something.
Yep.
You're acquiring new skills. Somebody is teaching you something. He's just teaching him about life. And he first uses his magic to transform Wart into various animals. Various just means different animals. So he's going to change him into, I think he changes into something that can fly, like an owl or some kind of bird.
Maybe a snake or a maybe lizard.
Changes him into like a squirrel or something like that. Just all these different animals. He just uses magic and says, poof! You are a bird, now you are a snake, now you are something else. And I guess somehow this is going to teach him about life.
That was my question. What do you learn about life by becoming a turtle?
Now you're a rat, so you learn how to join the rat race.
I see. Okay. You learn how to smell for cheese.
You learn how to run in a maze.
That's right. But, of course, it was a wide variety of animals. We said various animals. So it wasn't, you know, all kinds of dogs or all kinds of fish. It was kind of, you know, crazy and mixed up and random. Birds and fish and lions and mice and elephants and snakes, all sorts of different things. Later on, after that lesson has been learned, Merlin takes Wart to see a ridiculous duel between two knights in heavy armor. Okay, so yeah, duels were something that people used to do back then. A duel is basically just a fight between two people. Maybe not because they're angry and, hey, I'm going to fight you, but because, you know, they're gentlemen, they're knights, and it's just a way of showing who's the best. Before they had, you know, baseball games or before you could play tennis against someone, they would have duels, which are basically fights done not to kill the person necessarily, just to show off your skill as a knight, as a fighter, and to see, you know, kind of who's the best. I think the most famous ones were called jousts,
jousting.
J-O-U-S-T. And of course, the most well-known had two knights on horses riding towards each other, and they would try to knock the other guy off, and, you know, you'd win the girl of the beautiful girl's glove or something like that. It was just a sport. It was a way of showing who was the best and the strongest and the bravest knight.
So they go to see this duel or this jousting match where they're riding towards each other and trying to knock each other off their horse.
It was probably funny, though, right? Because it's the
it's
knights
ridiculous.
Are described as ridiculous.
Yeah. So I guess it was more humorous than dangerous.
Maybe they were like big fat knights or something.
On tiny little horses.
On tiny little
horses. Ponies.
Yeah.
Well, the adventure teaches Wart about the dangers of power, the foolishness of fighting, and that all creatures deserve help. So that's why it was ridiculous. He says he learns that power can be dangerous if people want too much power. He learns that fighting is foolish because these knights look kind of ridiculous just trying to knock each other off their horses for no
foolish
reason.
Foolish is kind of like silly.
Yeah, just silly. It's not serious. And he learns that all creatures deserve help. Creatures are just basically any living thing. He was turned into all these various animals.
Animals
are creatures. Like an owl is a creature. A snake is a creature. I guess we're kind of creatures, too. But usually when we say creatures, we mean like animals.
Animals that you might see in a zoo or somewhere like that. Yeah. So I guess by becoming small like a mouse, he learns that being small is scary and difficult.
Exactly.
So you shouldn't scare the mouse because the mouse already has enough trouble and that all animals deserve help. That's a good lesson, I guess.
So that was the we were kind of laughing at it earlier, but that is the lesson.
You learn that
all things are equal and they need help from us all.
Okay.
Now, 6 years later, so we're jumping forward in time
all
here.
Right.
News arrives that the King of England has died and
Wart's
left
father.
No heir. Your heir is like the person who comes after you in your family. Like if you're a father, your heir would be your first son, I guess.
Right.
And in this case, when a king dies, there has to be an heir because the heir is the person who takes the crown, who becomes the king. If there is no heir, then we have a whole bunch of noble families who are saying, our family should be the next ruling family.
And then you get a big war going
on. Yeah, you get wars, people fighting, people saying we should be in control of the country. But the king has no heir, at least that they know about.
Okay. Of course, this is a situation that still exists today, right? When the Queen of England, right now, who's quite an old lady, when she dies, her son Prince Charles, right?
Yep.
He's the heir. He will become the new King of England. He'll become, what, Charles III or something like that. Anyway, so in this case, the queen or the king has no son. There's no heir, no one to take over. Notice the word heir is spelled with an H, but it's not hair. Hair is this stuff.
This stuff.
This stuff.
Yeah, there we go.
And that's H-A-I-R. That's what you have on your head. An heir, someone who will take over, like a prince will take over from a king, has the H, but it sounds like heir, like heir, A-I-R. Same kind of way of saying that. What's more, it says, there's this mysterious stone. It says a mysterious sword is lodged in an anvil and a stone, and it's turned up in London. That is kind of mysterious. So there's a sword, all right, you know, swords like knights use to fight. It's in an anvil. An anvil is a big piece of steel or iron, the kind of thing that people used to use to make other things with steel. You've probably seen pictures in movies or stories with that guy, and he's working by a big fire, and he's got like red hot metal, and he's hitting it with a hammer, making swords or armor or anything out of metal. Well, that thing that he's hitting it on, the kind of little table that they're using to hit things on top, that's an anvil. So it's very heavy, very solid, very strong. There's a sword in that, and the anvil is also in a stone. And this thing, this weird thing, has turned up in London. When something turns up, it appears kind of out of nowhere. It appears like magic, and it's also our shortcut for you. So let's take a break and find out more about things turning up.
Shortcut for you.
Oh, hey.
Hey. Where have you been? You're so late.
I'm sorry. My dog ran away. I had to find him.
Oh, did you get him back?
I looked all over the city, and he finally turned up at the park.
Turned up? What? Was he dancing or something?
To turn up means to appear or be seen.
Okay, I understand now. Turn up means 出现.
So I took him back home.
So that's why you have turned up here late.
That's right. And I'm really hungry now. Let's eat.
Well, I don't know of any restaurants around here, but let's take a walk. Maybe something will turn up.
Yeah, I'm sure something will turn up. Let's go.
So we had a stone with an anvil and a sword in the anvil. But the sword, it said, is lodged in anvil. What does to lodge something mean?
Lodge means it's stuck. It's difficult to remove. So if you tried to pull it out, it'd be very difficult to do that. So it's lodged in there. It's stuck.
Yeah.
And it bears a message saying that whoever can remove the sword shall be king.
Okay.
Bear here doesn't mean bear, like the animal you might run into in the forest.
No.
Bear just means it has this thing on it. It bears this these few words.
Mm-hmm.
It shows them saying, okay, whoever can pull this sword out, you are going to be the king.
Interesting.
Interesting way to pick a king.
Sure.
Usually there's an heir.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, there's no heir, so they say, okay, let's just have this strongman competition. Whoever can pull this out,
right,
you are the rightful king
of England. That's what a lot of the knights would think. You know, just the strongest guy will pull it out, and of course the strongest guy should be the king.
Right.
That's what most of the knights thought. However, the story continues, even the kingdom's strongest knights cannot pull the sword out of the anvil and the sword. It's stuck there. Trying, even the big strong guys can't get it out. Very strange.
Now, Kay wants to try his luck at retrieving the sword.
Oh, of course.
So, Wart, Kay, and Ector head to London. So,
okay.
He wants to try his luck. To try your luck just means, well, you see how fortunate you are, you see how lucky you are.
Mm-hmm.
You want to try or attempt to do something to see if you can do it. He wants to retrieve the sword. Retrieve means to take something back, to get something. He wants to take the sword out of the stone. And I'm sure he thinks, well, you know, I'm Kay.
Right.
I can do anything.
Exactly.
Because I've never been told no. My dad has always said, you can do this, you can do that, you can do anything. You're so special. So he thinks, we're going to go to London. I'm going to get that sword. I'm going to be the new king. So off they go to London, and we're going to see what's going to happen
next.
Oh,
no, we can't find out what happens today?
No, we won't find out what happens today. We're going to have to wait until day 3 of our article
okay.
to figure out exactly what happens with Wart, Kay, Ector, and the entire kingdom, really.
That's
the
right.
The future of the kingdom
and
is at stake.
The sword and the stone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Before we find out, though, let's go to our For You chat.
For You chat.
In today's article, we saw that Merlin was teaching Wart lessons about life.
That's
now,
right.
He taught him lessons about life by turning him into animals and taking him to see ridiculous duels or fights between knights.
That's right. He was showing them that animals, all animals, should be treated with respect because even if they're small or ugly, they're still important animals, right?
Ugly animals need help too.
That's true. And he also learned from the duels, from the jousting, that that fighting is silly, right? You don't solve anything by fighting. You just end up hurting people, and that's not an answer to anything.
And that power is dangerous
as well.
Well, we don't have a lot of knights around here, and I don't think either of us have magical powers.
No, I didn't learn much from jousting either.
Yeah, jousting lessons were kind of a waste. So we're going to talk about life lessons in For You chat today.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, it's a pretty tough one, actually. What is one of the most important lessons you have learned in life? And because I don't know what to say, I'm going to throw it over to Sir Mike of Banchow.
Thank you. Important lessons. Well, treat people with respect.
That's a
good lesson. You know, it's a small earth. We're all here together. Everyone has things to do. We're all interested in kind of the same things, you know, having a good life, taking care of the people around us, eating a nice sandwich once in a while.
Sandwiches are important.
You know, it's good when you live in a city or, you know, anywhere with lots of other people to treat people with respect, to be kind to people, because when you are kind to them, you might brighten their day. And, of course, when people do something nice to me, people I don't know, you know, hold a door for me, that makes me feel happy. So, you know, treat people well. That's a good lesson. The other one, very important lesson, you might want to get out a piece of paper and a pen to write this down before you forget it. Before you sit down to go to the bathroom, make sure there's enough toilet paper there.
Also,
that's extremely important lesson in life.
Forget that. Write it down if you have to.
And before you put your cereal in the bowl, again, make sure there's enough milk in the fridge to go on the cereal, because there's nothing worse than having cereal, a spoon, and no milk.
And dry cereal.
I know.
It's tragic.
Dry cereal,
Absolutely tragic.
No paper in the bathroom.
All right.
Bad things.
Remember those things. I'm going to say don't judge a book by its cover.
Ooh, I like that one.
Yeah, don't judge people, or try not to, based on how they look. Try to get to know people before you make assumptions about them, or don't make any assumptions about them at all.
That's another great lesson.
Just get to know them. That's up there with making sure there's enough milk, making sure there's enough toilet paper in the bathroom
Very
before you do anything.
Too.
So you can write down those 4 life lessons, and you can also talk about some of your own as well. What have you guys learned about life that you think is important to keep in mind going forward? There are so many to learn. Well, that brings us to the end of today's program, and tomorrow we'll be back to find out the exciting conclusion of The Sword in the Stone. So we'll see you guys again next time. I'm Joe.
I'm Mike.
Goodbye.
Bye.
The Sword in the Stone. Wart and Merlin leave the cottage and, along the way, find the hawk. When they arrive at Wart's home, Sir Ector agrees to hire Merlin as a tutor. The reason Merlin agreed to help Wart is because the wizard knows who Wart's true father is, the King of England. Merlin begins Wart's training by teaching him lessons about life. He first uses his magic to transform Wart into various animals. Later, Merlin takes Wart to see a ridiculous duel between 2 knights in heavy armor. The adventures teach Wart about the dangers of power, the foolishness of fighting, and that all creatures deserve help. 6 years later, news arrives that the King of England has died and left no heir. What's more, a mysterious sword lodged in an anvil and a stone has turned up in London. It bears a message saying that whoever can remove the sword shall be the king. However, even the kingdom's strongest knights cannot pull out the sword. Kay wants to try his luck at retrieving the sword, so Wart, Kay, and Ector head to London.
Vocabulary Review.
Training. Soldiers go through training to learn how to fight against their enemies. Various. There are various kinds of stores in this area, so it's popular for shopping. Duel. The two men had a duel after one of them insulted the other. Creature. As we walked through the forest, many creatures made noises nearby. Bear. All the walls in this temple bear messages reminding us to be good people.